Welcome to day two of GB Duro 2019. What you would have heard just before this was, well, hopefully you would have heard it, and my mic might have been too covered up, but I came across the lane that I was going along completely blocked by a herd of cows, and there was a tiny old lady standing behind them, and she told me to wait until the cows had been put into their field by Sam the dog. And so I had a little chat with her while we were waiting for Sam to do his thing. Right now it's 9:20. I'm approaching Bristol slowly. I am 40 kilometers away from Bristol. I'm going across a completely pan flat valley floor, which is lovely. But I'm going towards a huge wall of a hill, which I've just been reliably informed I'll have to go over in order to get to Bristol, which I sort of remember from approaching Bristol and Bath and stuff by bike before. Last night, I think I left you where I'd gone up onto Exmoor and found this gravel track, and I was debating whether to ride it or stop there and camp. I decided to ride it, and it started off quite fun. I got to, what's it called? The something beacon. There's a big pile of stones at the top, and I could see this light kind of shining down just below me, and I figured it was probably the next rider coming along. Sure enough, it was, so I waited for them, and it was this guy Pete, and I'm glad that I did, actually, because what followed was the scariest and hardest gravel section we've had so far, and I'm a little bit traumatized by it, to be honest. It was quite a steep descent on a very, very loose, rocky gravel path, and there were some very sketchy moments. I didn't fall off, but it was scary. And this was in pitch black with a kind of very dim headlight because I couldn't go fast enough to make it bright, and a very dim head torch because, I don't know, it's either just crap or it's running out of battery. So I was literally like, I don't know how I'm going to get down this. And I kept wanting to stop just so that I wasn't having to do it. But then I kept thinking, well, that's not going to help, because you're going to have to ride down this. And it's easier to just keep going rather than stopping. We finally reached the bottom of that, and it was just like bliss. And then we had a few hours then of very, very steep road climbs. One, I think, gravel climb in there as well. And we weren't really sure whether we were going to keep riding or stop for the night, but as the hours kind of ticked by, you know, it looked like we were going to push through. And we actually, I think, realised that we had to get each other through the night and keep each other awake. So we were having a good old chat, and it was like really obviously, yeah, we just knew we had to do it to get ourselves through, even though probably neither of us felt like talking, because we were just slogging our way up these steep hills and we were running pretty much on empty by then. And then the sun came up just as we were going over a big gravel climb over a kind of ridge, and we could see all the way down across like the Bristol Channel over to Wales, and the whole sky just lit up pink. It was absolutely beautiful, really dramatic, and was just extremely, well, it was like the antidote for our sleepiness, because we were really struggling by then, and it just instantly woke us up. Morning. So as predicted, just after the sun came up, we both kind of felt like we wanted to have a nap. Pete left me in the middle of a forest. He said, just carry on if you want, because I'm gonna just sort myself out and get my head together and maybe have a little nap. So I left him there and pushed on a little bit myself, but quite soon after that, to be honest, I was falling asleep and I needed to stop. So I found a really nice little field of soft grass. It was pretty much completely light by this point, but yeah, I stole in there and lay out my sleeping mat and my sleeping bag, and I had a sneaky little kip for 20-ish minutes, 20-25 minutes, which is, I think I've done that before. Yeah, I've done that sort of length nap before. Now, I think the key for that nap is you have to have some caffeine to have just after the nap. I didn't have that. So I had the nap, felt all right. Had a bit of old burger that I got from the kebab shop the previous night. Better than it sounds. And then carried on, but I was quite drowsy, and luckily I found a like one-stop shop that was open super early. Got a couple of cans of like ready-made double espresso sort of latte in a can type thing, and stupidly didn't think to get any fluids, you know, like water, because I had a tiny, tiny amount of water left, and it's just so stupid, I didn't think about it. So I was kicking myself then, because I didn't really go past any other shops, and I've ended up going into someone's garden and using their garden hose pipe to fill my bottles up this morning, which is more fun and you know, quite satisfying from a sort of survival urban Bear Grylls kind of standpoint. But yeah, I was just annoyed with myself, because I was too focused on the coffee, man. But kind of justifiably so, because once I'd had that one coffee, I felt amazing. About 2 hours. I've looked at the tracker this morning. I'm in fourth place, and that's basically the same as third, because you can pretty much discount Lachlan if you want, because he's just, you know, so far in a different league that I don't know if it should count. Yeah, he's way ahead of second place. It's halfway through Wales now. He's probably going to get to the checkpoint within a couple of hours. And yeah, I don't know, I'm feeling a little bit intimidated by the scale of this thing actually, because it still feels like forever to get to the first checkpoint. Having said that, you know, I've made really good progress. I'm happy with how I'm doing. But also I'm just really scared of the gravel sections now, because there's gravel and there's gravel. And when it's like a nice open kind of flat road that's made of gravel, you know, that's fine. But some of this stuff has been like what I, you know, it's kind of like mountain biking really, and I'm just scared of it, and it's right on the edge of my comfort zone. So this is a real challenge, much more so than something like TCR. If I can make it through this, it will be like, you know, probably the biggest achievement so far. So that's something that I'm trying to keep in mind as motivation really. Make sure I try and face up to the challenge and do it and kind of do myself proud. Joining me here crossing Severn Bridge into bloody Wales. Marvellous. Second country, well, third country if you count Cornwall, of the ride. It's pretty cool because the bridge is closed to traffic at the moment, because I think they're doing some renovations or something. So it's like kind of 28 days later, completely empty, but you're still allowed to go across on a bike, or if you're the bloke on the Harley Davidson who's going down the cycle path. Pretty rock and roll stuff. I arrived in Bristol about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is Sunday. You'll probably be able to hear in the background my bottom bracket has started creaking, and what I think I should have done is to go and get it fixed in Bristol, but I've got a bit caught up in the idea of being fourth and really don't want to let that slip, which is so stupid. So that could be a subplot that develops later on down the line. I'm sure it will. Hopefully it won't be too serious. I might have to get it fixed somewhere a bit further on. I think that once we get into Wales, it gets quite remote quite quickly, and the weather's closed in a bit. It's raining, not super heavily, but you know, enough to really take the shine off things. I think I calculated the distances wrong or something, got my timings a bit wrong, because I thought I might arrive at checkpoint one this afternoon, and I'm actually nowhere near. I am in fact over 200 kilometers away from it, so yeah, I'll be getting there tomorrow at some point. Had a completely brutal morning this morning after my nap. Just loads of horrible, horrible, what you could loosely term as gravel, but actually a lot of, you know, very rocky footpaths and bridleways. And it's just not what I want to be riding on, basically. I'm not really a mountain biker. I don't find it fun. I find it quite stressful and scary when you're kind of picking your way through these big gnarly outcrops of rock and lots of loose rocks strewn about everywhere. And I got quite angry about it and a bit despondent this morning. And I was even thinking, as I was pushing my bike up another hill that was unrideable, I was thinking I'm just going to get to Bristol and call it a day, because it's just not what I want to be doing. That kind of riding. Gravel, fantastic. There have been some really good gravel roads. You know, some that are quite rough, but yeah, some of the stuff last night and this morning was just like what I would deem as quite technical mountain bike riding, and it's kind of not what I signed up for, but also it's just not what I enjoy. So I didn't stop at Bristol. I'm gonna keep going. But I'm just sort of, you know, I'm kind of dreading the next section that's like that. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Going to be in Wales shortly, and keep you posted on what's going to happen next. Woo! Yeah! I'm a lucky boy. Oh yes. I thought I'd broken my Son Dynamo hub charging system. Well, I thought I'd broken the connection between my wheel and the wires that come out of the dynamo to power everything, lights and any electronics that I need to charge. And it's kind of the linchpin of my whole system here, because I've got that, I don't have like battery powered lights. I don't really have a good enough way of like charging all my stuff up, so I really rely on being able to charge everything as I go. And it wasn't charging the Wahoo, and I tried a few different things, the easy stuff, nothing worked. And then I had to pull over and sit down and look at it, and I could see that one of the little wires coming out had been cut, and it's raining quite a bit here, so I think water got into the system. And I didn't know whether that meant it was sort of permanently damaged or if I just needed to dry it out and then seal it. So I dried it off the best I could and then used some Suguru, which is amazing stuff if you haven't heard of it. It's basically like plasticine, Play-Doh, something like that, and after a while it sets hard like a kind of plastic, and I you know, it's kind of a useful thing to always carry with you. So I just caked the entire connection with Suguru, and I really, really didn't expect it to work. And I got back on my bike, went along a bit, tested it, no charge. And I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? I might even have to stop doing the ride altogether. And then I realised I hadn't actually flicked the switch over. And when I did that, it was charging, which I can't quite believe. So very, very satisfying bit of on the road DIY. Oh, I've just pushed my bike up a very, very steep slope through a forest for about 15 or 20 minutes. And I was desperately trying to find, I knew it wasn't quite the right route, and I was trying to find where the right one was. And I couldn't find it, and I was like going through the undergrowth. And I got to the top, and I have just seen the perfect gravel road that I was supposed to be on. So sorry, Mostyn. Believe me, the hiker bike was much, much harder. We've just stopped at Bryn Mawr, which is apparently my last chance of resupply for 80 kilometres, according to my quite thorough route checking. And at the kind of speeds that I've been able to go on this sort of terrain, that it's going to take a bloody long time. So I've packed the bike up with lots of food and spare water and stuff, and so I'm ready to go out into the desolate tundra of Wales. Apparently it is a tundra environment. I'm sure I read that somewhere, where we're going. I think it's the desert of Wales. But obviously I'm going into this not exactly knowing where I'm going to go. But yeah, basically the point is there's not much there, and you can't just go to the corner shop and get some food and drink. So the nice thing was I put these as little markers on my Ride With GPS map when I was planning the route, and so when you're going along and you pass through one of these markers, it comes up on the Wahoo screen saying, watch out, this is your last resupply for 80k, which is pretty cool, I think. Yeah, so it's 25 past 9 in the evening. Bryn Mawr, it's quite big actually. It's one of the only reasonably sized towns we've been through. Very, very functional place, not at all pretty, kind of a working, probably like a mining town or something, I guess. The weather is, it's a bit, it's kind of a bit grim really. It's a bit eerie. There's lots of like low cloud. Everything's wet, like damp and grey. It's a little bit chilly, but kind of a bit of a nothing temperature. I've got no idea what to expect from this next section. But, well, I've heard conflicting reports. Mostyn, the guy that organises this thing, absolutely loves it. And another guy I was chatting to at the start is absolutely dreading it, having done like a recce test run of some of it. So, God knows. What I want to do tonight really is get to a little area where there's a load of campsites that I found, and try and get to a campsite because it'd be nice to like have a wash and wash all the kit out maybe. I'm feeling like someone that's been up for 37 hours with a 20 minute nap. I'm a little bit cagey, a bit jittery, and a little bit clumsy. So I feel like it's really like a really long way to the checkpoint, so it's out of the question to try and kind of push through to the checkpoint in one go, because I suspect it's going to be really, really tough terrain as well. So everyone's going to be sleeping tonight. So I don't think, you know, even if I get a good few hours of sleep and everyone overtakes me, you know, it's not, who cares really, it's not the end of the world. So yeah, I need to make this sustainable for myself, need to look after myself a bit with TCR in mind as well. So yeah, I'm gonna get some good sleep tonight, I think. I'll let you know how that all unfolds.
So it's a bit indistinct that one, but once you're down to Ponstickill.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I recognise the name.
So you'll come across this track here.
Yeah.
Then you come onto a bit of tarmac road. There's some big potholes along this whole section here.
Yeah.
Then you come up.
Oh, I've big, seen. Big, yeah. I've seen this on Google Maps. It looks amazing. Yeah. This part.
It is an amazing thing. So you sort of swing up here. Then there's a bit of tarmac road. Then you swing off down this white line here. And this is really fast and grassy.
Yeah.
But there are little dips and bumps in it. And then the bridleway dips off round about here somewhere.
All right. What sort of surface is that?
It's all grass, but it's quite narrow.
Oh, right.
It's in tussocks and stuff, so it's not very wide.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to see.
Yeah.
But that'll take you down. It sort of dives off. Where does it dive off? It dives off round about. You can't even see it on here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a wooden post there, but if that's all logged onto there,
I'll be able to follow it on here fairly well.
All of a sudden, you won't see it. It'll just direct you off.
Okay.
And then you head into the other side of Ponstickill Reservoir, and you head up to Upper Noyad Reservoir then, and then you're onto the Gap Road,
which is
a long slog.
Yeah.
So.
Right, great. I wish I was doing this like about 8 hours ago.
Yeah. But, it's a difficult one, but take it easy.
Yeah,
Watch out for the potholes.
Yeah, that's a top tip. Local advice from a local rider.
Mind if I take a quick photograph?
No, of course.
I don't know what it come out like. I've been putting these on Instagram as well.
Oh, brilliant.
You're on Instagram, aren't you, I think?
Yeah.
Right, good luck.
Great,
with
good stuff. Thanks very much,
Enjoy
Nick.
It.
Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your dot watching. It's a much better idea than actually doing it. Oh, man. All right, thanks very much. See you soon. Oh, that's cool. That was a guy who just... His house happens to be on the route, and he just popped out of his house as I was riding along and said, good luck, Tom, well done, keep going. And he's been watching the dots on the tracker. So he spotted that I'd gone down to stop in the local town. And he just gave me the full rundown on what's ahead, what I'm about to ride, because it's his local it's his local route. I mean, it sounds like pretty much what we've been doing before, but it's going to be getting dark soon, and it's just, I'll have done two of the biggest kind of technical gravel sections in the dark, which is just stupid. It's not ideal anyway. Timing could have been better, but then again, I didn't work any of this out. You know, it's just, I've just arrived at places when I've got to them, and you know, just had to sort of tackle it as it comes. But how cool is that? That a guy just, you know, he's interested in the event, and he's following it on his laptop or on his phone or whatever, and then comes out and gives us some support. Took a little photo. It's cool. It makes you feel like a bit of a celebrity as well, which is basically the point of this whole thing. Pretend to be an athlete or an adventurer. That's encouraged, that kind of thing. It does lift your spirits as well. And because he gave a lot of practical advice, I just feel a lot more reassured about what I'm about to ride, because I think the last clip, I was just saying, I've got no idea what it's going to be. So now I know exactly what it's going to be. I'm not sure if that makes me more reassured or less reassured, really, but anyway, let's do it. Let's just go and ride it. So, I'm out here tackling this whole big section that this guy was talking about. So far, so good. It's some of the nicer gravel come across so far on this trip, by an awful long stretch actually. It's completely flat, maybe slightly downhill. There aren't too many big loose rocks to worry about throwing you off course and making you fall off, and it's kind of quite nice and soft and fairly comfy to ride on. So far, off to a good start. But you know, there's always a little surprise in store on this race. So we'll find out what that is when we get to it. Things are starting to get quite weird out here, because it's kind of half light as the sun's going down. It's pretty dark, and my sleep deprivation is causing me to hallucinate. Things that my brain's making up to interpret the kind of ambiguous shapes that it's just able to pick out in this light, which is pretty intense, I've got to say. It makes it quite a weird road to be to be cycling down. I saw a kind of like a huge teddy bear, like what you would win at a fair, but it was like quite a dark, well, it looked like it was kind of dead on the verge of the road. And then I got close to it, and it was just some rocks, but you know, I was convinced at what I was looking at. And there was a herd of horses, like wild horses, that looked like these really creepy monsters, kind of like orangutans. So yeah, this is fun. This is as long as I can keep a handle on the fact that it's not real, then they should be all right. Otherwise I might just have to pitch my tent and go to bed. I don't feel tired, that's the thing. One long-standing tradition in the private household is the scenic wee, and I'm just in the middle of this old quarry at the moment, looking over this incredible huge kind of valley with mist rising up through it in the twilight, and it's really weird and really beautiful and amazing. So there's only one thing to do really, which is have a scenic wee. Yeah, it's good. It started off so promisingly, this section, and I thought, yeah, this is fun, man. It was all nice. All the different bits of it that the guy talks about were nice, they were fun, they were easy, they were safe. Now, what was like, what was, a nice sort of grassy slope, like something out of Teletubbies, that I was merrily riding down, like it was some kind of big slide, has turned into a kind of unrideable network of huge ravines, gouged out by water running through sort of like this soft grassy mud. And I basically can't see anything, and my brain's kind of gone to mush as well, so it's making everything seem like it's a very, very weird thing to be trying to ride a bike over. Oh God, this is hard. So I'm debating whether to maybe put my tent up and have a sleep and do this in the light, because it looks pretty much impossible in the dark. I've got it's 20 past 11. How far am I? Yeah, this isn't very good content, is it? Let me work out what I'm going to do. So I'm pushing my bike down a grassy hillside that's covered in lots of bumps and really long grass. It's completely pitch black, and my head torch isn't the best, so there's a bit of guesswork involved. But the point is, I'm pushing my bike, and I wouldn't really want to ride this even in the daytime. I don't know, maybe it would work, maybe it would be fun, but I'm just not enjoying this at all. It's just shit. What am I doing here? I'm just walking across a sort of downwards sloping field, which is like a really awkward thing to walk on or ride a bike on. I'm sure I would just go over the handlebars. I can see the appeal for some people, because it's like quite extreme. You're doing something out of the normal, you're kind of breaking the rules, going off the path, just right across the field. But it's not my thing. It's not my thing. I just don't like it. I'm not having a good time. It's not fun. And it's just, I don't see it as a kind of worthwhile cycling challenge either, really. Just like pushing your bike around places. I'm in, obviously at this moment I'm in the get to checkpoint one and call it a day frame of mind, but I don't know, we'll see when I'm not sleep deprived and it's not night time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.